to Matthew, the 10th chapter. Anybody need a sermon, or I'm sorry, a program? Anybody need a program? In that program's the sermon guide. It's going to stretch you out a little bit today. There are some fill-in-the-blanks. Anybody need a program? All right, one right down here, Edwin. Right over here. Thank you very much. Hugh needs one. There you go, Hugh. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Our text is Matthew 10:16 today, but that's right in the middle of a passage that I want to read all of it to you. So I'm going to read the passage, and then we'll begin to look at the scripture. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16. Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. I think it's interesting that Jan sang that special today. God has sent us in His absence to finish the work that He came to do, to seek and to save that which was lost. And as we look at the scripture today, we are to go out as sheep in the midst of wolves. We're going out on a very difficult task, the most important task that a man has ever been sent upon, the task of sharing the gospel with lost people. So it's an important task. We're sheep among wolves, and we surely need the anointing of the Lord. Somebody say amen? But let me tell you, so many people want the anointing of the Lord without being obedient to God's word. And that's not going to happen. So obedience to God's holy word, ancient text, will lead to an anointing that would enable us to do the work of God. So if we want the anointing, we have a little praise here. You all are pretty comfortable with it. Live for God's glory, being radically obedient to His commands, striving to love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and working in His church to advance His kingdom. When you're doing that, you can expect to have God's anointing. When you are not doing that, don't expect to have God's anointing. Verse 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and put them to death. And the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? That's what you can expect as you go to preach the gospel. And we're going to look at that over the next few days. And we're beginning today to look at that in the context of sheep in the midst of wolves. And as you think about that, just think about, we're not talking about South Arkansas coyotes. They're bad enough on sheep. If you don't know that, just go and ask some people that have sheep, and they forget to put them in the sheepfold one night, and guess what's always there to get one or two of them? The coyotes. But can you imagine sheep among wolves? How long will they last? Not long. Amen? So that's what we're looking at today. We began in this passage by looking at the three calls of the apostles. We looked at they are first of all made alive spiritually. That's the call to be born again. And then they become followers of Jesus. And then some will be called to a greater task as the apostles were, as preachers and teachers are today. We've looked at the word preach. And we remember preaching is just proclaiming what has happened, proclaiming what has been said. We've celebrated the resurrection of Jesus. Matter of fact, we enjoyed it so much we took 2 Sundays to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. And today we're going to begin to look at what it's like, are you listening, church, to be a devoted follower of Jesus. This is what you can expect. This is what you can expect in America today if you're living radically for the Lord and are willing to share the gospel with lost people. This is what you can expect. For the preacher, for those attempting to see souls saved, for those working to advance God's kingdom, these verses will be of great interest. If you're not interested in going out there in the workplace and sharing the gospel, these scriptures won't interest you. But they should, because all of us are required and asked to be out there as ambassadors for Christ. Now, did these verses apply to the time of the apostles? Yes, they did. And you remember in the first 15 verses, you remember he called his 12 to him. And then even before letting them go back home or immediately off of coming off the mountain, he sent them out. And it was a difficult task. They were to go without anything. They were to go, and for people who received them, they were to bless them. People who didn't receive them, they were to leave. And so they've come back, and now he's teaching them what further tasks will be like. And that would include us. And that's what we're beginning to look at today. So, we are sheep among the wolves. And we surely are as we leave this place and go out into the world. Keep that in mind. So, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Three things kind of in beginning here. He says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." First of all, I want you to see what he's done. He has sent them out. And if you're a Christian, he has and is continuing to send you out. And he says, oh, by the way, as you go, that place you're going to out there is a dangerous place. It's as dangerous as sheep among wolves. So he sent us out. He tells us where we're going. And here's what he says. So be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Three things. And we could spend a lot of time here, and I wish I had more time to spend, but we need to move on. So I want you to understand in what he's saying. He says, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out. I have sent you out. I'm going to send you back out. And he's saying to us, you are part of those that I said will continue to go out. And we are to go out. Secondly, he says, I'm sending you out in the midst of wolves. And here's what I want you to know. In the midst of wolves, I want you to understand that a sheep was defenseless. Did you know a sheep won't fight back? They have no weapons against the wolf. And that's a good word for us. So, you know, when he's sending us out among the wolves, he's not telling us to go kill them or fight them. He is not telling us to go out and drive the wolves away. But he's telling us that we're to go out and preach to them that these wolves might become sheep. We need to continue to remember that as we go. We're not going out there to destroy lost people, but to preach to the lost people the freedom that comes with Jesus and preach that they might be saved. So, knowing of where we're going and who we're going out among, we need to be wise as snake and innocent as doves. What a combination. Talk about a snake and a dove in the same statement. Here's what Spurgeon says. He says we're to be martyrs, not maniacs. We're to be simple-hearted, but listen to this, not simpletons. We're to go out there being wise in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So, right here in the amongst him about to send 72 out, we hear these words. And I want you to know that there's really good news in this. And let me tell you what the good news is. Prayerfully, as we go out there, are y'all listening? There will become more and more sheep and less wolves. Just think about this. Even out in the wilderness, okay, there's many wolves in the wilderness, but when the sheep are taken out into the wilderness by the shepherd, they have someone to protect them. But hopefully in our day and time, I don't know if I see it happening yet or not, but all the time there should be more and more sheep out there and fewer wolves. So there's good news to that. We hope there'll become more sheep. So I want you to see today the blended character of a serpent and a dove and what we can learn from this. So here's what we want to understand. We don't want to become like wolves in trying to advance His kingdom. We want to continue to have the demeanor and the innocence of a dove and a sheep. So let me ask you this. What will be the character of those going out as sheep among wolves? What will our character look like? Because that's what this text is about. What should be my disposition? So number one is sheep in the midst of wolves. Scary thought? Very scary thought. Is it a scary thought that you're going out among wolves in society? Let me tell you, this is your first blank, okay? The world is a wicked and dangerous place. So, some of you ladies say amen. It is a wicked and dangerous place where there's no respect for God, no respect for people. The world is a dangerous place. Followers of Jesus, blank number two, are vulnerable to this evil. Did you know that while you're out there, you're just as susceptible to evil, maybe more so than everybody else? It's a wicked, evil place. And we are to operate in the world knowing that we're among wolves. But even while we're among wolves, we are to remain sheep. That's what the text is saying. And that's exactly what we want to do. So even though we're out there in the world, let me tell you, this is a temptation to me. I know it's a temptation of some of you because I know your personality. We go out as wolves, but in our confronting lost people, we become a snarling wolf ourselves. What did I say wrong? Okay. We go out as sheep, but while we're out there as sheep, you can always tell Robbie in my church if you say something wrong because your wife's on the front row. Okay, listen. We go out as sheep, okay? And as we go out as sheep among wolves, we must be sure that we don't become ourselves snarling wolves. And can we do that? Some of us have that tendency more than others. And I was just thinking as I was getting ready to preach this morning, I was thinking about a little study I'm doing on Wednesday afternoon with somebody of another denomination. And back several years ago, the Lord gave us a way to study with people who disagree with us in our doctrine or in our philosophy. And y'all know that kind of the rule is, if you disagree with Russ's teaching this morning or what Brother Bob says about the Lord's Supper today or what Russ said about Sunday school or what I preached this morning, you know, you have every right to come and sit down with us. And when you come to sit down with us, you can share with us your scripture and your thinking. And we won't confront you. We won't do anything except answer questions. We'll just let you share with us why you think we're wrong. And we'll listen. And then you will give us permission to come back at a later time and share with you why we have the position that we do. And I'm so thankful for that because in a very public setting over the last 2 weeks on a Wednesday afternoon, I've sat down with two men in a very public place and we have had very, very civil discussion about doctrine, about how man's saved, whether it's baptismal regeneration or regeneration through a supernatural work of God. So I'm so glad we have that. So I want you to know we have a mechanism in which we don't have to become snarling wolves or antagonists. Amen? And we don't need to become that. So we have no mandate to be ugly to reach an end. We have no mandate to be ugly to win an argument. Our goal is not to win arguments, but to see souls saved. Amen? That is our goal. So we are among wolves, but we don't become like wolves. We are not to be gossip, slanders, and all such as those things. That's how lost people act. We're not to be overpowering. We're not to operate in such a way that the gospel is a business. But we're out there to see wolves turned into sheep. Here's what Charles Spurgeon says. The only weapon that a follower of Jesus has is this. A follower of Jesus is weaponless. We have no weapon of the world to carry us. All we have is the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So we are to be sheep among the wolves. Secondly, we're to be wise as serpents. What a combination. Genesis 3:1, you'll remember that scripture. We've been in it. We will continue to be in it in Sunday school. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he said the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. So he was wise. The serpent was wise. But let me tell you what else the serpent was. He was shrewd. He was deceptive as well as subtle. And we need to be as wise as serpents, yet we must be as innocent as doves. So let me tell you, we must be wise, but also when we're out there among the people, we must be innocent. And we must act in innocence. So this slyness that we're talking about as wise as serpents and innocent as doves is not a sly or cunning one, but it's a shrewdness that's good. It's a wise and innocent shrewdness. Now, do you think that's a difficult balance to find? Absolutely. But that's what the Scripture says. William Hendrickson wrote this. The keenness here recommended, this as wise as serpent and innocent as dove. Listen to this great quote. You've got it also to follow along. Involves insight into the nature of one's surrounding. What do we tell our ladies? What do we tell our young people? What do we tell one another as we're out in places that we're not familiar with, places that are not safe? Be aware of your surroundings. I'm telling you, as you go out to witness to lost folks, be aware of your surroundings. It's a dangerous place. And we need to be careful when we're out there. He says it involves insight into the nature of one's surrounding, circumspection, sanctified common sense, wisdom to do the right thing at the right time and place in the right manner, and a serious attempt always to discover the best means to achieve the highest goal. You know what I'm talking about? As you go out there to the witness of the lost, you ought to always be constantly in prayer. We need to pray before we go. We need to pray when we get back. But we need to pray as we go. Amen? So, be aware of your surroundings, what you're doing. Who are you among? Y'all tell me. Wolves. Especially when you're intentionally going to witness to the lost. You're going to be among wolves. We need to pray. Number three, innocent as doves. Listen carefully. This is not a moral purity which is understand. But this is a purity of correctness, conduct, and manners. You need to act like a Christian when you're out there. Straightforward without guile. I love this scripture from John 1:47. You remember what Jesus saw when he saw Nathanael coming towards him? He said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. You know what that means? That means a person of integrity. A person that's not two-faced. A person that's respected in the community. A person that is respected in the workplace. We're blessed in America. They raised the minimum wage. I don't care if you're working at McDonald's or where you might be working. They are paying you to go into the harvest field. They're paying you to go out to witness to folks. But let me ask you, where you're getting paid to work, what kind of reputation do you have? What kind of employee are you? How do you speak at that place of work? This is all part of that being innocent as doves. Titus 1:7, which applies to those being considered for elders and deacons, says this, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. You know, one reason, church, you listen to me carefully, this is one reason that many people don't witness. It's because they have nullified their ability to witness. And they're ashamed to witness because of the life that they live in front of these people that they're with on a daily basis. So I think this Titus scripture in its fullness is a good example of the character of an ambassador for Christ, without guile, above reproach. And you know what? This is not something we're going to achieve in the flesh. We must be in Christ, and Christ Jesus must be in us. We must be walking closely with Him to be any resemblance of Him. You know what it should be for us? When they say something about Charles Marshall or Russ Smith or Billy Barton or Pedro Baltazar, you know what they all say about Pablo Cardenas? What you see is what you get. That's who he is. That's who he is every time you see him. This is what you can expect from him. So I want you to hear again now. You may have missed this a little earlier. You have the greatest privilege, and you have the most difficult and the greatest task ever given to a human being. Are you listening to me? Jesus came to do what? Seek and to save that which is lost. And what's he sending? What did he send the 12 out to do? What did he send the 72 out to do? And what's he sending you out to do? To seek and to save that which is lost. Well, know that that greatest privilege, that most difficult task, is a dangerous one. And in order to go out there and do that task, it mandates that we take care as we go. So how do we walk this out? And this is number four. So how are we to pull this off? How do I get the gumption to go? How do I go as wise as a serpent, as innocent a dove? How do I go and remain the character of a person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Listen to me. Prayer. You know what American Christians are the laziest about? You know the greatest shortcoming of pastors? You know the greatest shortcomings of teachers? You know the greatest shortcomings of the praise and worship team? They may put lots of hours and lots of prayer into their preparation, but they do very little praying for the presentation of what they've been studying to present. That God would take this, the word that's sung or the word that's taught, and by the Spirit do the work that only He can do. We're lazy in the prayer closet. We talk about it all the time. We're lazy in the prayer closet, but we want to be mighty in the pulpit. Guess what? Prayer in the prayer closet, prayer in study makes you powerful in the pulpit. Powerful when you're teaching. And we're lazy. We want to drive up at McDonald's and be 8 or 10 waiting to get to the call button and still expect to get it in 30 seconds. It may work at McDonald's. It will not work in teaching, preaching, listen, or witnessing, or even living that life out there where you're getting paid to live it. And we're not even talking about living that life in your home. We'll begin to look at that next week as we look at Mother's Day, and then we'll for sure look at it again when we celebrate Father's Day. Pray, pray, pray. If we want to do any good, listen, if we want to even have moderate success, we better pray. If we want this innocence of a dove coupled with the wisdom of a serpent, we better pray. If we want discernment in every situation, if we want these instructions of Jesus, which are difficult and important, to mean anything to us, we better pray. And we do this because I want to share with you, there's two extremes of going. Now listen to me carefully. If we try to be as innocent as doves and shrewd as serpents, and we can't figure this out, I want to tell you what the extremes are. Some people are so intimidated by the task and the rules, shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, you know what? They either won't go or they'll go and not say a word. That's an extreme. What is the extreme? To do nothing. You with me? And that's what most Christians do. They do nothing. And even those Christians that are doing something, because we don't pray, we're not very successful. But there's another extreme. And this is this extreme. We are so extreme that we bring on persecution. Or we push ourselves onto people. We don't go out and understand our surroundings and our circumstances. So you see the extremes? We're either pushy or we don't do anything. We've got to find some balance. And we find it in Scripture. We're sheep among wolves. We're shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. And we find how it works for us. But listen to me. There's no good excuse for not being an ambassador for Christ. There's no good excuse for not sharing the gospel message. Even though it's dangerous, even though it's difficult, we're mandated to go. I'm so thankful. Wednesday night, we had 44 in Wednesday night Bible study. And I had 40 tracks. I had 40 gospel tracks. And I told you, all you had to put on that the back of that track was this little website address. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, the numeral 4, AR.org. That's all you got to remember. And we're going to begin to put that on signs. It's on my business card. We're going to begin to put that out. And as soon as you type that in on the line, up pops our website. Well, they've got everything. They've got our phone number. They've got our service times. They've got all our messages on sermon audio. So you don't have to know but one thing. Just put that on that track, which says coming to Jesus, or come to Jesus. And sometime during the week, I just ask you to look for an opportunity to put that track in somebody's hand. All of those tracks were gone. I pray they're not still in your Bible or still in your pocket. But still, you've got till next Wednesday to get it out this week. Began to work in that field in which you're to be sheep among wolves. Because that's what God's left us here for. Ooh, I got quiet. Why are we still here? There's somebody out there. There's a wolf out there that God wants you to go share. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Want to know how to do it? Want to know how to do it with that guy at work? I see Tammy, and she had a co-worker, somebody that was by her every day that was an adversary, and I think she's no longer an adversary. But when you've got somebody that works by you that's a wolf, acts like a wolf, tries to eat you up like a wolf, tries to eat you up, spit you down, sell you down the river to everybody, you better pray. And you better seek God's wisdom. It's out there. How do we get it? Pray and ask. So if we do this, if we pray without seeing, listen, we will not become cowards and not do anything. Is that where most of us are? Are most of us cowards? Or lazy? Or don't think we know enough? Ask Rusk. Listen. Come back to Sunday school next morning when we review the scripture cards. And see if you know enough to go out and witness. If you don't know enough to go out and witness, you're either not paying attention or you're not around here often enough. Don't be a coward. Don't be willing not to speak. He's left you here to be an ambassador for Him. Listen, not only speak, but confront the lost. We sing about love, and I forgot what Ronnie Floyd's part of his statement with. It was something about love. It was in the prayer guide. Jeannie, do you remember three words about love? What is true love? Is it condoning people's sinfulness? Or is it confronting them in love with the truth of the gospel? Listen, a coward's not going to do that. And unless you're in the Word, unless you're in prayer, you're likely to be a coward. Secondly, after being on guard against a spirit of laziness and cowardness, we need to be sure that we don't become overboard, that we don't push ourselves or push our beliefs upon people, but we're always looking for an opportunity that they bring and the Lord brings to us to be loving, caring, gentle, kind, and at the same time confronting people with their truth and with lostness. But listen to me. You need to earn that, and you earn that by being kind and gentle in those people's times of needs so you can share the gospel with them when that opportunity is given. We want to be prayerful that we'll not miss any opportunities. Let me speak just a couple of more words about needless offense, and then we'll move on. There's no use, when you can help it, to be offensive. Now, some of us, and I won't call out too many names, Bruce and Deanna and Tammy, we can be pretty offensive. I could name some more, but I'll quit with those three. We can be pretty offensive just in our personalities and our nature, can we not? But we are not to be needlessly offensive. We don't need to look for opportunities to be offensive. We don't need to go out there in mind that we're going to stir up the opposition. You know what? It's one thing to preach from this pulpit what we believe about creation, what we believe about same-sex marriage, what we think about transgenderism. It's another thing to put it on our sign. You got to be wise as a serpent. Don't go looking for a battle. There's enough out there. But listen to me. When you are asked specifically about any of those issues, do not be ashamed. They've asked to privately share the Word of God with them. We have a book of authority. All of it's 35, some of it's 3,500 years old. All of it's 2,000 years old. It's a book of authority. Just this week, yesterday on Fox News maybe, they found some proof. What was the context? They found what, Stephanie? Yes, yes. And it all goes in dating everything to what? Balak. King Balak? Is that it? That he was really a historical figure. Really? Every time they discover another piece of evidence, they prove that our book is true. You know what? You know what the other side has? Same-sex marriage, transgenderism, all of that stuff. An opinion. What somebody thinks. Do not be ashamed of what you have. But you don't have to flaunt it. We don't want to commit great blunders. And when you commit a blunder in the pulpit, maybe your wife will correct you. If you didn't correct you then, you got to come back and make it straight with the people. Amen? Try not to make too many blunders. And we got to remember, we access all of this through prayer. So the last scripture is this. Look carefully then how you walk. Be not unwise, but as wise. That's how we need to walk. Billy and I were discussing this week about things we might do that could get away with doing, but if somebody knew we were doing it, what a mess it would stir up. We don't need to get ourselves involved in needless controversies. We got enough opposition. So let's just think in closing up. We don't want to be sluggards in prayer. We don't want to be sluggards when it comes to asking God for knowledge and for having good judgment and a sound mind. We don't need to presume upon the God's grace that He's going to go with us and go before us. Listen to this now. Grace and common sense, which we need every day, It's a rare combination. Like shrewd as a snake and innocent as a dove. Trying to put those two together is kind of difficult, isn't it? It's rare. So grace and common sense. A lot of people have a lot of common sense. And a lot of people have a lot of grace. But we need to have both as we go. Now, how do we know that? Well, what did David's life look like? He had a lot of grace. He had a lot of wisdom. He had a lot of common sense. What about the life of Paul? He had the same. What about the life of Jesus? What keeps us from having grace and common sense? What keeps us from having wisdom, knowledge, and common sense? A lack of prayer. A lack of desiring it. So, I want you to think about this, and I think this is in your outline. We need to pattern our lives after Jesus. We need to be people of prayer. Amen. And we need to walk in His steps. We need to act like Jesus. So, as we finish up looking at this text, anybody who's trying to do good out there, this is a good place to start. Go out as sheep among wolves, be as wise as serpents, be as shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. That's a good place to start. If you have no interest in living for the Lord, working to advance His kingdom through His church, today's message probably won't interest you at all. But you know what? If you're going to get out there among the wolves, it'll begin to interest you. It surely will. To preachers, to those who are soul winners, to those who labor in the local church, these verses ought to interest us. People who want to live as ambassadors for Christ, this ought to interest us. Was this for the apostles? Was this for the 72? Absolutely. But is it not for us who are trying to advance God's kingdom through the local church today? So I want to know, are we going? Do you have any interest in going this week? What are you going to do with that track? We'll have some more tracks on Wednesday night. What are you going to do when you know through your associations out there in the world that you're dealing with a lost person, you're dealing with a wolf? What are you going to do? So I want you to understand that the task is a privilege. It's a difficult task that we've been called to do. I want you to know that when you go out there, you need to be aware of your surroundings and realize, now listen to me, there's a real enemy out there. And he would like to kill, steal, and destroy you. But you have one who has overcome the world. And you need to access him in prayer and ask for his guidance and his direction. So I want you to know, you're going out among the wolves. You need to be as shrewd as a snake and innocent as a dove. Amen.